I mean, that's why I can make it to the tomorrow, the hope of heaven. Praise the Lord. Happy birthday, Jesus. Let me be the first to say that. Amen. Bob, come on up here and do a few announcements and get us started this morning. It's good to be here, folks. Good to see you all. And it's another beautiful Sunday morning at Buffalo Ridge. And we thank you for being out here. Come on, Bob. There's a microphone right there.
Few quick announcements, and one big announcement is the fact, believe it or not, Gift Sunday's here. That'll be next Sunday, and it's supposed to be a gift for every boy and girl and adult, so make sure you show up for that. And then also, if you'll go down through there, we've got a lot going on. Let me get over here in this other page. We've got a lot for the Gift Sunday. And then the pageant, okay, that's dress rehearsal for the pageant. And then the Sunday, the 18th, is when we're going to be able to see the Christmas Story pageant and the evening service. And then also Christmas at the Pavilion after that. That's on the 18th. And that'll be out here, weather permitting, out in the outside out there, okay? So keep that in mind. And then also remember the fact that Sunday, the 25th, excuse me, we only have one service that Sunday, and that'll be in the 11 o'clock hour. There won't be any buses running. There won't be any Sunday school. Everybody will be in here. Won't be any children's churches, nothing. Okay, so keep that in mind. Just in this auditorium here on the 25th. So keep that in mind, if you would. Okay, and then we've got the candlelight service at 4:30, I believe it is, on the 24th. So keep that in mind as well, and if you can make it to that, okay? So keep that in mind as well. All right. Do we have any prayer requests now this morning? You also have on that list that I handed out this morning, you have my email, and you also have my phone number on there. That's my cell, and you can call me. I'll try to write it down or try to remember it to make sure I get it on the prayer list and everything. Do we have anybody over here? On this side over here. Okay. How about in this middle section right here? Yes, Harold? Okay. Okay. Need to remember him. Okay. Okay. Need to remember those two. Do we have any other in the two? Okay. How about over here on the right? Or my right, your left? Okay. Need to be remembered praying for Brother Steve? Yes. Okay. Okay. Need to remember that. Okay. Okay. Remember all of these? And then pray for our service at 11 o'clock hour and our children's churches and everything. Let's all bow our heads and let's take it all to the Lord, okay? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, come to you this morning thanking you for all your blessings. I thank you for what you did on Calvary. Dear Heavenly Father, that's what Christmas is all about. Help us not to get lost in all the packages and tinsel and everything else, but help us to remember the fact that it was Jesus' birth. He came to die for us. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you be with each prayer request that's been mentioned. I pray that you just meet the need there. And I'm thankful, dear Heavenly Father, that you are a prayer answering God and that you are a helping God. And I thank you for that. Meet the need. Be with Brother Steve as he teaches this morning. Be at the 11 o'clock hour with the children's churches. And be with the service in here with Brother Herdman. For we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Well, praise the Lord. Because of Christ, because of His birthday, we can all shout glory. Forever and ever, we will shout glory. And that is the reason why I can stand here and say, praise His high and holy name. He came on Christmas and born in that manger as just a child, but God. Man, but God. I know we don't understand that. I can't hardly conceive that. But His blood was so precious when He gave it up on the cross. It saved the world from that precious blood. We're going to look back at the church again today. We're going to look at the measure of our ministry. How do we put a yardstick on Buffalo Ridge? Now, talking about the people, the church. How do we put a yardstick on us, or the pastor, or the deacons? We have to use God's word as a guidepost, as the ruler, as the ultimate goal of this church, of course, is to see people saved. Well, in today's society, churches can, and we can too if we're not careful. We can measure ourselves with the world. We can measure ourselves with accomplishments. A lot of churches, the goal is, how many can you pack in the auditorium? Or how much money I have? Or how much missionaries we have? We can look at programs, how big a Christmas program we're going to have. And all those things that people see physically and can put a finger on it, the world, sadly, they look at the influence of people based on what they do or who they are. And we don't want people to look at this church at us. We need to be very humble in the work that we do. And now people see us. I've had so many people come up to me and say, I saw you on TV shopping for Christmas trees. I mean, we had people watch people. But that's the world that we live in. They look at accomplishments. They look at systems. They look at churches and they measure them on a standard of businesses. Well, this is God's business. This is spiritual business. As deacons and pastor, we can look at, we have financial stuff and we have means to do things, but the pastor and deacons have to pray about those things. We have to use God as the guidepost on how we spend God's money, much less how we minister to the church, how we have programs. Now, we're going to have programs. We have Christmas programs, and all those things are good. And we honor God in those things. And we want everybody to take one of those cards and start dropping them in people's hands. Say, come to our Christmas program. Because why is that? Because we know that this church body is of Christ. And we get somebody in here that's not saved. Christ is going to be preached. That's the goal. People getting saved. Now, let's go to Ephesians today. Ephesians chapter 4. Well, I had that marked here a while ago, and I guess I lost it. Let me get my eyeballs on. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're looking, starting down at verse 11. In chapter 4 there. Now let's have a word of prayer and ask God to bless His word and give us, open our hearts and minds to understanding. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your love and grace and what You did on the cross. And Lord, we just thank You again for this time of season that we can look and see all the pretty decorations and the stars and on top of trees and celebrate Your birthday, Lord. Lord, we thank You for that. Thank You for what You did on the cross. Lord, help us this morning. Give us some understanding in this verse as we break it down and look at these things, how this body of church should and does function as a body of Christ. Lord, we love You in Jesus' name. Amen. So looking at that verse first there, and we'll look at these things in detail, but let's just read these few verses right here. In verse 11, and He gave, whose God gave, it's a gift. God gave a love gift to our church, to the church, to the New Testament church when this was written. He gave these gifts. And He gave some apostles and some prophets. Of course, those things are of old, not today. And some evangelists, we have those. Some pastors and teachers. And I am blessed. I am not worthy to be a teacher. I've prayed many years ago for God to just use me in whatever way. Oh, I come so close to being a missionary in Africa. I mean, I was just on the edge and didn't, through some help of some missionaries that I knew. But since then, those days, I've been teaching some kind of class. Kids, teens, young adults, adults, senior adults, and senior adults. And on we go. And I guess I'll do that till God calls me home, because that's what God's given me the gift to do. Now, what is your gift? I mean, where do you fall now? And a lot of us don't fall. We have a pastor. That's a gift from God, our pastor is. And we have teachers. But let's go on down into this next verse and look that we fall into this verse, all of us do. It says, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, who's the saints? That's us. So the work of these people above is going to perfect you to serve and be like God. And we're looking at a guidepost here, what God wants His church to look like. For the work of the ministry. Now, folks, the pastor can't do it all. The teachers can't do it all. The deacons can't do it all. It's a group effort. It's the church that we're talking about here. It's what God says for the body of Christ. It says for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We'll get into that in just a minute. That we henceforth be no more children. Tossed. Let me stop right there. Children. What are we talking about? Not your statue, not this is a child, we're men and women. The thing we have going on today, so many people don't grow up as Christians. It's evident in the world. I was talking to some businessmen, and what a problem we have with employees today. And one of the facets of the problem is, there's many problems, is the family unit. Now, folks, it's becoming really a mess out there. And without the family unit, that's why our country's in such a mess. It all starts in family. And teaching the kids how to be and who they are. You got single parents. You got people living together, not married. having children, then there's no commitment. They break up, and then what happens to the child? They go home to the grandparents of one of them. It's on and on, and those functions of the family falls over into the workplace and falls over into this church and falls over into the pastor's lap having to counsel people. It's not easy. Our pastor has a difficult job in being part of this verse 11, and then he comes down and has to do all these things. It's a constant effort on his part, and it should be on our part to help hold this body of church accountable to Christ till we all come to into the unity of the faith. It's just the unity of the faith. There's so much in this two verses here that we could talk about. So many things. Let me go and see if I can finish this. Then we'll get into some of the details. I'm going to have to hurry up or I'll run out of time. Tossed. Okay, let's see. As children. And these children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's why we got a pastor that talks about what is the truth. The truth is this word. The truth is God. The truth is Christ. And these young Christians with children are so, as Pastor Lashley used to say so many times, in his generation he started dealing with this back in the 60s and 70s when they took prayer out of the schools and everything else, started all that garbage. He said these people are birdbath Christians. They're no deeper than a birdbath. What a saying. I'll never forget that Preacher Lashley's saying right there. Birdbath Christians. And carried, let's see, about with every wind of the doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That our society, the teaching, the colleges, the high schools, the grade schools right on down are teaching some garbage. And they lie in wait. If we don't teach our children, they are going to teach our children. If we don't have our children and our grandchildren in this church, they are going to teach our children something. And they need to know the truth. The truth of the matter is in this word. Now let's look at some of the details on this before I go on. Let me get through this here. Let's see. The church is a body of Christ. Every local New Testament church is a body of Christ on this earth. Everyone. Levi's. They are absolutely, we've not seen this in this country for a long time. Those people are starving for the word. They went over to over toward Holland, somewhere over in that area, across the channel, for their church. First, some people invited them there. They've got two students from that part of the world that are graduating. So they got invited over to have church with some folks. And all the kids that were there had told their parents, and their parents told their friends and their friends what Levi's New Testament Fundamental Independent Church is there in England. So he went across the channel, and there was 100 people or more showed up in that church. Starved to death for the truth. And he said these people were clean cut, dressed well, all working class, clean country, just as clean as a pin, just really top drawer area. And Calvinism has eat them up. Winds of the doctrine. Somebody not teaching the truth has eat them up, and they're starved to death. He said they come up to him and said, "We have never heard that preached." How is that possible in today's modern society? Satan has done a good job to blind people with this winds of the doctrine. These people didn't know the truth. They're starving for it. And we have that in sectors of our society. We just need to get out there and tap that. But everybody has to be part of that. The unity of this body in that effort. Are we unified in that effort? Or we just sit and soak and say, "Well, somebody else will do it." See, that's what happened to me 40 years ago. I could not sit and soak. I had to get involved. Had to get involved. And once I did that, this missionary work, teaching, working with teens, and on and on and on it went. And running my own business at the same time. But Debbie and I went forward for the cause of Christ. And we decided that's what we were going to do. We just made that decision. We made that turn. You know, we got to make a decision. And we can't just walk and talk about it. Going this way, you know, we need to do that. We need to do that. We need to do that. No, we need to stop and turn around and say, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but God's going to show me how to do it." Now, we've got a pastor and we've got deacons and got teachers, but we need people in the unity of the effort that needs to be made for the salvation of this town and the world. The body is to mature and grow in Christ. We got to come to church. We got to read our word. I get more growing sitting looking out my back window with the Bible on my lap. Now, I like to grow here, and I can sit over there and say amen, but if I don't apply that to my life in this setting and go back and take that and open the word up and say, "Now, what was he talking about?" And try to apply that to my life. Each one of us have a different path to go. And we have to apply what the pastor says. We have to apply what the word says, what he preaches. He's just a man. We're all just men being guided by God. Pray for our pastor. Pray for our deacons. Pray for our teachers. And I know you do. But they need it. We need it so bad. We need to know what God wants us to say. I pray every day, "God, help me to say what you want me to say." I don't know what to say. And I can look back on some of these things recorded. I don't even remember how I even said that or why I even said it. It's because God used me. It's a wonderful thing to be used by God. Many of you have been used by God. And when you get finished and go out to dinner or go home, you have a feeling of such comfort that you tried to do the right thing. It's a wonderful feeling that God gives us when we try to do the right thing and have made an effort and feel like we've done what God wants us to do. So the function is to increase the body. The Lord has given us gifts to the church to accomplish this purpose. Now, this ministry that we have, let's go into that verse and look at it. For the perfecting of the saints. I mean, here it means that these various officers that's mentioned up in verse 11 are appointed in order that everything in the church might be well arranged. Now, there's a lot of work goes on in the background. I just saw Stephanie come in a while ago, and she was carrying so many envelopes of new move-ins. Can the pastor, I mean, there was like this crate and another half a crate of envelopes with letters in them that's going to go out. Can the pastor go see all them? Can the deacons go see all them? Can the teachers go? No. Go back there to Stephanie and say, I need to go see a couple of the move-ins. She said, where do you want to go? And how many do you want to do? And she'll print you out a list that quick. There's plenty to do here. For the perfecting of the saints, though, we're talking about for the perfecting of the saints, that's us. These offices are well arranged. All these things that the church, how it functions in the background, a lot of us never see. All the stuff that the secretaries do. All the stuff that the pastor's wife does. And I know the pastor's wife. I've got Brittany as a pastor's wife of Levi. She's got so much to do that I don't know how the girl does it. She's taking care of kids and Levi and the home. And then she goes and takes care of all the church functions. All the money, all the missionary work, all the trust work. She does all the trust work there in England. And on and on and on it goes. They're stretched. We need to help the perfecting of the saints. It is a Christian's responsibility to have positive, to be positive and have positive thanksgiving to the pastor and the deacons and the secretaries, even the guys that are walking the parking lot. Have you ever stopped and thanked them for what they do? That's all out there for the perfecting of the saints, to keep us safe, to keep our cars safe. Everybody has a little role to play. And we need to be thankful for that. We need to thank those people and be welcome and become very compelling with love towards one another. Not say, well, I never did see him go out there and run my car. Well, you don't know what camera's on the wall looking at your car. Why do we want to say negative things? And I know a lot of us don't, but there's always somebody that's sour, walking around with a chip on their shoulder. Pray for that person if you know who that is. And they're in this church for the work of the ministry, it says. All these arrangements that are being made is for the work of the ministry. Through all the different departments that we have. Sunday school department, little kids, big kids, teens, and on and on and on. And all the work of it's a big job in today's society in this church of this size. And when Paul wrote these little churches were in people's houses. Have you ever been to a church in somebody's house? I was in some in Ukraine. I was in some in Romania. I've been in some in Africa where we met under a tree, and that's all they had. And on it goes, but it's a church. And how do those people play a part in those little bitty churches? That's what was here. Maybe 15 or 20 people gathered together, half Jews, half Gentiles, gathered together. And he was saying, work together for the cause of Christ. And a lot of them had differences back then. Came from idol worshiping. Came out of the Jewish religion. And they had all kinds of stuff they could have contention over. And we sit here so comfortable in a warm building or cool in the summer. And I think about those churches in Africa that I visited that time. And it was so hot. We were right on the equator. And we dropped over into the Uganda. Come out of the equator there is high up, 4,000 or 5,000, nice weather, coffee beans, plantations. And we got a helicopter ride from Helimissions. There's a thing called Helimissions. They got a station in New York and Madagascar and quite a few places around the world. If you ever have a missionary that's in trouble, you can call them and they'll go get them and bring them out. They at that time they were flying Hueys from Vietnam in 85. But easy way to travel when you get on the ground in Africa. There's a lot of heliports or a lot of helicopter ports that you can be picked up at, or they'll come to the ground and get you. Well, we flew over into Uganda and they just waited on us. We were there for a while and had church and witnessed and helped them design some, figure out how to get water to their gardens and that kind of thing. And it was a good day to be involved in that kind of work. But that's the work of the ministry. At a little church in the middle of nowhere, trying to help the work of the ministry for what? For the edifying, the verse says, for building it up to the knowledge of the truth. The truth. See, the wind of doctrines blow things sideways. But the truth needs to prevail. We don't give our opinion or their opinion or a commentary opinion. We give the opinion of the truth, the word, what God says. For the edifying, the building up of the saints. The trust to teach people to trust God thoroughly. To show reverence to God. People just have no reverence anymore for anything. The world is just no morals, no reverence. They don't care about you or anybody else. Just scurried around. For reverence of God and loving the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They don't know that. We get to get them here. We got to get them here so they will know that. And for us to respect others, to be godly, how do we not respect others? I mean, they may have a crazy opinion, but I'm going to respect that and say, well, you know, I don't quite agree with, what do you think about this? You can have a conversation. See, in today's world, everybody wants to argue. They want to push their agenda, and we know the agendas that the world's pushing. They don't want to have a conversation. They don't want to exchange the truth. The devil's in the middle of this world, and he wants in this church, Lord. We need to pray a hedge around this church every day that the devil will stay out of here and stay out of our members. For the body of Christ, that is the church. In Ephesians 13, it says, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ, till we all come, till all Christians arrive at the state of complete unity. Now, an entire perfection. That's what God wants. God is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of something that's halfway organized. God is the author of perfect peace, perfect organization, and the perfect truth. And we start letting the world come in and things start getting confused. We want our church to come till we all come to that complete unity. I don't know, we'll never get there. We're just flesh. Now that's not an excuse. I'm just flesh saved by the grace of God. And the flesh can come out of me, and it does. And you can say that if you want to say the truth. We have the flesh to deal with. And we aren't perfect. We'll be perfect someday. Debbie's perfect right now. And she wouldn't come back to this old place. So we have to make an effort. And how do we get perfect? We got to get back into truth. See, it all comes back to the truth, to the Word. If we don't stay in the Word, we ain't going to get the truth hammered into our old heads. Our old fleshly heads and bodies wants to slant things and change things. And of the knowledge of the Son of God that we might obtain to be a particular people and show that we are sons adopted by God. We all have sonship, brothers and sisters in Christ. What a gift that is. I didn't do anything to get it. I don't do anything to keep it. But just to be a son or a daughter of Christ because of what Christ did on the cross. Back to the truth of the Word. We lose sight of that and even being thankful for that. The knowledge of that other folks might come to the maturity of a Christian that is grounded, that can't be blown to and fro. That's another guidepost, what we need to do. Our pastor preaches it every day. Our teachers teach it. We need to be involved to make sure people that's grounded and they're going to grow and be mature Christians unto a perfect man, unto a complete man. The problem is, a lot of people are still children. They act as children. They talk as children. And they're 40 years old. Some people just don't grow up. They just don't grow up. They live their lives like that. And if they go to church, they go to church like that. Folks, we don't need to sit around and say, shame on you. Look how he acts. Look what's on his body. Oh, look at his earrings. Or look at those tats. Look how he dresses. Praise the Lord, that person needs to be just as saved as I do. But see, we can let the flesh get in the way. If we're not perfecting ourselves, we can look on things like that and look with, No, if that person walks in that door, you ought to go back there and shake their hand and say, here, let me get you a seat. Oh, wait, but there's one here right beside me. Do we do that? Here's the guidepost, the truth. The Word is telling us to do it. Folks, we don't want to dig in these verses like this because we don't want to hear the truth. The flesh don't like it. We want to do what we want to do. And to the measure of the statue, that the word statue expresses the idea of a perfectly grown up man or woman. Your Christian growth, where is it? Examine yourself today. If you need to grow, you need to go eat some truth. If you need to get better understanding to grow up, you need to go to the truth and read it daily. Dig into it. Don't just read to it. Say, well, I read 15 chapters today. What did it say? I don't know. I don't even hardly remember where I was reading that. Folks, we need to dig in. If you ain't dug in now, it's almost too late for us. We need to dig in. We need to show our grandchildren how to dig in. We need to show our children how to dig in. We need to get grounded in the Word. We need to dig in for the edifying. The building up, the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth. In Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by the which every joint... I'm not going to read that. I'm going to run over time. I need to finish up. Let me get back on this sheet here. Fit to join. Yeah, we've talked about that. So let's look at this again. Down in the last section here is the measure of the church in its likeness to Christ. Does our church have a likeness of Christ? Do we project that when people walk in that door? Do we project the likeness of Christ? Now, the measure of us, we've talked about that. Until Christ reforms you into being perfect, we can try to be perfect. The most beautiful thing is to come in some church and people are welcoming and people are shaking your hand and people are saying, glad you're here. That projects the beauty of Christ. You know, Christ, he said, I have to go through Samaria because there's a lady over there that I need to talk to. And the disciples said, nah, we don't want to go over there, man. They stoned us and run us off. He said, yeah, I got to go. And he got there and they went to this lady and they all said, man, why is he talking to that person? Why did she come down here? Now, we can't be like them guys. See, them were the disciples. And he was teaching them a lesson. That lady needed to be saved. And we know what kind of person she was. The Bible explains it. We see somebody walk in that door, and our mind goes that direction. We need to be the likeness of Christ. What did Christ do? He went to the well, and he touched that lady and told her, and she got saved. We need to be like that and get them in this door and get them in this seat and let our pastor preach the word. And let salvation come through the power of the word. We need to support all this ministry. All this ministry. Never let the winds of doctrine blow you on anything. Opinions, how it's done, what they're doing. The most beautiful thing about this church is it is Christ-like. And our pastor and our staff is trying to do it like Christ. To honor him so he will honor us and we'll see people saved. That's really the gist of it all. That's our measuring stick. How do you measure up? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. And your grace and the truth of your word, how it, you just start breaking it down and it speaks to us loudly. Lord, help us to be grown up Christians. Help us to point people toward Christ. Help our pastor to preach and teach the word that we see people saved, see people's lives changed, see them turn around and go the other direction. Lord, we need help at this church. We need bus drivers. We need all facets. Just go back there and pick out something. There's much to do for the cause of Christ. Lord, we love you and thank you for your grace and your salvation. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.